Go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we do know that in all our confusion and all of our strife, that You are Lord of all. I pray as we approach Your Word this morning, Lord, that You might open up our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount, and as we continue to study in more detail Christ's teaching on oaths, one of the things that I mentioned last week is, can we take an oath either in court? Are Christians allowed to take an oath in court? And are we allowed to take oaths among peers, private oaths? There are some religions that believe that you cannot take and should not participate in oaths within our civil system. Jehovah's Witnesses are forbidden from participating in oaths. Quakers are forbidden from taking oaths. And even in Christian denominations, Mennonites are forbidden from swearing an oath. And they use, as the basis for belief, Matthew 5:33, which is our focal passage. It says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." James reiterates this teaching in chapter 5 of James, verse 12. He writes, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." I think looking at these two verses and looking at some people's belief that you are forbidden from taking an oath either in a civil proceeding or among peers gives us a great opportunity to stress the importance in looking at the whole Word of God. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look biblically at what God says in regard to taking oaths. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, he reminds Timothy, he said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul told the elders of Ephesus in Acts 20, starting in verse 26, he says, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." In other words, for us to preach and also teach the Word of God correctly, you have to search all the Scriptures. We have lots of ministers today in society who will pull one verse out of context and teach whatever they desire. And these verses give us a great opportunity because Christ said in Matthew 5, don't take oaths. But yet, as you look at Matthew 26, verse 62, as he appears before the Sanhedrin, it reads, "And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, 'I have put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and the coming on the clouds of heaven.'" So is Christ contradicting himself? At one moment he said, don't take an oath. Here he's participating in the oath. And of course, as we saw last week, that what he's referring to back in Matthew 5 is not a prohibition against civil oaths. It's not a prohibition against private oaths. But it is a prohibition against oaths that the Pharisees were using to deceive people. So in order to add emphasis to their words, they would swear by Jerusalem. They would swear by the altar. They use this as a way to tell a lie, to add emphasis to the lie, to deceive people. And they believed that they were escaping judgment by interpretation of the law. Christ took part in oaths. Paul took part in oaths. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:23. In 2 Corinthians 1:23, Paul writes the church at Corinth, "Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand." So as Paul writes the church at Corinth, he said, "I call God as my witness." He uses an oath. He did the same as he wrote the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 20. He said, "Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie." To the Philippians, he wrote in chapter 1, verse 8, "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ." In Revelation chapter 10, verse 5, you see an angel swear an oath. It reads, "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be a delay no longer, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mysteries of God would be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets." So we have Jesus Christ participating in an oath. We have Paul participating in oaths. And we have an angel participating in an oath. So obviously, oaths are okay. And so here we have a great illustration of someone taking one or two verses out of context and not studying the whole Word of God. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to learn about the Word of God. That's why it's important as you study the Bible that you just don't take one verse out of context. How many health and wealth preachers take one verse out of context and don't look at the whole Word of God? There are lots of people being misled by false teaching, and it's done by selective verse picking. So if oaths are okay, there's got to be a governance to oaths, right? Because in Matthew 5 and in James 5, they addressed the misuse of oaths. And you know, it's interesting as you think about this. We live in a culture today where words are cheap. And so the importance of oaths, the importance of words, are diminished today in our cheap culture. But what I want to do is look at the governance of oaths, the wisdom that we should use in making oaths, and realize that telling the truth, being a person of truth, is so very important. So many times people judge themselves against the standard of society. They have a horizontal view, don't they? But that's not our standard, is it? We should have a vertical view. Our standard's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth. He's the truth. He's the standard. We should be people of truth. Our world believes in a moral relativism where we weigh out whether or not a truth or a lie is more appropriate. God doesn't do that. So as we continue on this morning, I have to say that A.W. Pink's comments in his study on the Sermon on the Mount regarding oaths is just a wonderful study. And he comments that when you take an oath, you are affirming your belief that God is a witness, that He is the judge, and He is the revenger of falsehood. Think about that. God is a witness because He's omnipresent. He knows everything. And you believe that He will stand and judge all men according to their actions and their words. So, as we look at taking an oath, when you first take an oath, and I think this is important as we operate in a culture today where Christianity is being diminished. Let's look at a courtroom. So you go into a courtroom, you put your hand on the Bible, and you take an oath that you will tell the truth. That has meaning to you and I as a believer, doesn't it? The acknowledgement of God. The acknowledgement that God is alive and active. The acknowledgement that God rewards or chastises. Ask yourself a question. Does that mean anything to a lost person? Should we be surprised that lost people perjure themselves? That they lie? No. We shouldn't be surprised about that. And while it shows our history and our past belief as a Christian nation, I believe that people standing up and putting their hand on the Bible and taking an oath, unfortunately today, does not mean what it used to mean, because the Christian population in our country is diminishing. With that being said, when you go in and take an oath, you first are acknowledging just the existence of God, aren't you? You acknowledge God exists when you put your hand on a Bible and you swear an oath, or as you tell someone privately that you are making an oath between you and another party. You're also invoking God to bear witness upon your conscience. That very moment as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ causes you to pause and say, I'm about to enter into an oath. I am going to ask God to bind my words. It's serious business. And not only are you asking God to bear witness upon your conscience, you're also acknowledging the fact by going through the ceremony that if you lie, there is a punishment. How many people out there today believe that they can tell, and I hate this phrase, a little white lie? I'll tell a little lie and that's okay. God understands. We'll see later on that God cannot stand lying. So as you go into a courtroom, you are absolutely allowed to enter into an oath in the courtroom. You're allowed to put your hand on the Bible. You're allowed to put your other hand to heaven. And you're allowed to enter into an oath. We also see when we swear in presidents that they put their hand on the Bible and they swear an oath. Both of these examples are serious, solemn occasions, aren't they? This should always be the environment for us. You should not enter into an oath unless it's something of importance. So you think in a civil ceremony it's important, as we saw in the courtroom or swearing in a president. You don't need to swear an oath that you've just eaten the best pizza ever, right? How many times do you hear that? I swear that that's the best pizza I ever ate. I swear that that's the best band that I ever listened to. Words mean things. We live in a culture that tells us that that's not true. It is true, isn't it? God's Word is true. His words are important. He's given us His revealed Word in which we should live. It is extremely important. So you can use oaths in civil ceremonies. How about with one another? Let's look at 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 7. Obadiah and Elijah meet. And it reads now, as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." So he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord God lives," there's the oath, "as the Lord God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. So oaths between people are okay. But it needs to be solemn. So as you think back about Paul, as he's writing the churches, and we saw he did it with the Ephesians, he did it with the Philippians, he did it with the Galatians, he entered into an oath. Why? Because he wanted to stress the importance that he was telling them the truth in his ministry. That's oath worthy. Pizza's not. When you are on the verge of losing a relationship because of some misunderstanding, and you need to plead the fact that you are telling the truth, oath's okay. It stresses the importance. See, what is missing today with oaths, as I mentioned last week, is a healthy respect for God. See, God hates lying. He absolutely hates it. And that's why it's so important that we look at the whole Word of God in regards to our doctrine and how we act out our lives in serving the Lord. Look at Zechariah 5. Starting at the beginning of the chapter. He said, "Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll." Now, as we start going through the beginning of Zechariah 5, that had meaning at the present time that Zechariah wrote this, but it is also a prophetic chapter. So many times in prophecy, you see where there's a current meaning. You see that a lot in the book of Isaiah, where there's a meaning for the people of that time, but there's also a prophetic meaning for the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see this here in Zechariah. And he said, "Then I turned and raised my hand and saw there a flying scroll." The flying scroll is the Word of God. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to the side of the scroll. And every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it." In other words, the flying scroll was written front and back. On one side it says every thief shall be expelled. On the other side, every perjurer shall be expelled. And then in verse 4, it says, "I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. I shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones." God hates lies. We could go through all of the wisdom books and look at how many times it states that God hates lies. And we're talking about just basic lies. But then, when you add on top of it, where people have lied but bound it with an oath with God, it is serious, serious business. See, what comes out of our mouth not only affects the people that we deal with, because there's courts full of people arguing over what was said or what was written in business dealings. But it just doesn't affect that. That's just a byproduct. Who it offends is God Himself. Lying is serious business. Oaths are serious business. And when you really get down to it, when you think about our relationship with the Lord, we've told the Lord that we will serve Him, right? We've uttered that with our mouth. Are we doing it? See how important truth is? It affects our relationship with the Lord. It affects the relationship with our families. And we can lie with our mouth. We can lie with our actions. But as we sit here and as we proclaim that we are followers of Jesus Christ, does our life show it? What comes out of our mouth, what we say on Sunday, should match up what we're doing Monday through Saturday. And it affects our relationship with God. See, we have a serious problem in our country today. And you just have to look at the leadership. How many times have we seen political leaders lie? And then they want to paper it over with some nuance. See, we live in a world that doesn't respect the truth. And for us to be faithful followers of Christ, the very basic point of obedience is just being truthful. Be a person of truth. Tell the truth. Enter into an oath seriously. Have a respect towards the Lord to where you're not going to use His name flippantly to stress a point without significance. It's all in His Word. It's in the whole Word, and we need to be followers of Him. Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You for the power of Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have hope and confidence, knowing that one day every crooked path will be made straight. We praise You that we have the ability to live the Christian life through the blood of Jesus. I pray that we might be serious about our salvation. I pray, Lord, that if there is somebody here that doesn't know You, that they would give their life to You today. In Jesus' name, amen.